Now, the definition of the word justify. The definition is the word, it means to declare righteous or innocent. And I put that down so you didn't have to write it down. To declare righteous, I'll share that with you here in just a minute. It means to declare free from the penalty of sin on the ground of Christ's righteousness. Or it means to make inherently righteous by the infusion of grace. And all those big words, but if you think about it, that's what happened as far as, and I'll get a little more specific. As you read your Bible, Luke 18, look at verse number 11. Verse 14 is what I want to show you here. Luke 18, verse 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And look at verse 14. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. What's the word justified mean? It means declared righteous or innocent. It is another word. It is a synonymous word with this man went down to his house saved. That's why we say there's only two sinners' prayers in the Bible. One was the thief on the cross, the other one the publican. There's only two prayers where somebody prayed, and then afterwards God said, they're saved. So that's what I always tell people when they say, did I pray the right prayer? Did I say the right words? God be merciful to me, sinner. Here Jesus said, this man went down to his house justified or declared righteous or innocent or saved. Let me, now you're in Luke. Go to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. I just want these verses to mean something to you. And when you see the word justified, I want you to know what it means, and I want you to be able to substitute the word saved in its place. Acts 13, verse 37. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Acts 13, 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And watch this, and by him all that believe are justified or declared righteous or innocent or are saved from all things. So everybody who believes, all who believe are justified or saved from all of their... Jesus paid it all. Oh, how do you do that? I don't know, but that's what it says. All that believe are justified or saved from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Now, as far as we'll come back here in just a second, I put on your sheet there, justify. It means to declare righteous or innocent. Now, don't go to it. Just listen to me real quick. You can learn a lot in your Bible if you take a one word and look up. It's called the law of first mention. Where does God use that word for the first time in your Bible? And then look at it. And I have several sermons that you're going to hear me preach where I'll say, this is the first time this word is mentioned in the Bible. Then you look at it and you can pull a lot of truth from it. The first place in your Bible where justify is mentioned is Deuteronomy 25:1. Just write the reference down. You don't have to go to it, but listen to this. God says, if there be a controversy between men and they come into judgment, that the judges may judge them, then shall they justify the righteous and condemn the wicked. Sounds like a court term, doesn't it? Then shall the judges judge this discrepancy and justify the righteous or justify or declare innocent or declare righteous those who've done right and condemn the wicked. It sounds like a court term, doesn't it? That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. It does not mean to make righteous. Justify means to declare righteous. Justification means to set forth as righteous. Justification is the judicial act of God, whereby everyone who puts their faith in Christ is declared righteous in His eyes and free from the guilt and punishment. Now, it's like this. I was saved in the bottom of a ship June 7, 1986. and I wrote it down in my journal that I had in the Marine Corps, and I'd write down things that happened that day, and that's how come it's easy for me to remember that, okay? So I was saved the moment I trusted Jesus. I remember nobody was around, a soul winner wasn't around, God was convicting me, the door was shut, it was about half the size of the baptistry changing room. It was like the size of one of your closets in your house. It was literally that chaplain's office was that small. There was a desk here, a chair, and a chair right there. I got on my knees and I said, Lord, my parents said I was saved at age 6. I don't remember that. Lord, I trust you now as my Savior. And the moment I asked Jesus to save me, God declared me righteous all through heaven. The moment I trusted Him, God judicially declared, God, Greg Knapp is righteous. That's justification. I was declared righteous by God. God declared it the moment I trusted Him as my Savior. Same thing happened when you got saved. The day you trusted Jesus, you were justified or declared righteous. You say, okay, let's put this in perspective with the Trinity, okay? I don't understand the Trinity, but I believe the Trinity, okay? I can't explain the Trinity, but I believe the Trinity. God is the one that justifies us. He speaks. The day Miss Betty Dixon got saved, Betty Dixon is righteous! God declares us righteous or justifies us. Jesus, the Lord Jesus, redeemed us, bought us, received us, remember, and set us free. And the Holy Spirit does what? Regenerates us or regenes us, and that's another Bible study. So the Trinity, when you got saved, Jesus redeemed you, the Holy Spirit regenerated you, and God justified you or declared you righteous. Okay? Do you understand that? He was the one, in His eyes, He was the one, He saw your faith and He said your name throughout heaven is righteous or innocent or without sin. Isn't that wonderful? That's what the word justified means. God, one more time, how does the Trinity, and I put that on your piece of paper there, how does the Trinity fit in? Jesus Christ, the Lord, He redeemed us. He redeemed us. He paid for us, He received us, and then He set us free. That's the word redeemed. Then, the Holy Spirit regenerated us. Titus 3:5 and other verses there. He's the one that regened you or born-dated you again. Amen? Okay? He's the one that changed you on the inside. Then God the Father, all of this happened at once. Then God the Father declared you righteous through heaven. That is justification. Now, if we look at it, I put some words in red there in your Bible study, and I want to go through these here, and we do have time. Look at, in the sight of God, we are justified by faith. Are you ready? And I'm going to go through these with you in order. Take your Bible, go to Romans 3:20. Watch this. In the sight of God, we are justified by faith. Romans 3:20. And I'm going to kind of go through these quickly. I just would like you to, after a Bible study like this, one, the day you got saved is the most important day of your life. A wonderful memory for you. And Sunday was my 29th birthday in the Lord. I was 29 years old in the Lord. That should be special to you, the day you got saved. Well, as you read these verses, I want you to think about it. Look at Romans 3:20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh, no one, be justified or saved in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. You're in Romans 3:20. Look down at verse 26 in Romans 3. Romans 3:26. To declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, there's that word declare, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So the moment you trusted Jesus, He declared you just or without sin because He's the justifier. Look at verse 27. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law of works? Nay, but by the law or the principles of faith. Therefore, verse 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified or saved or declared righteous by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Watch this, verse 30, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision, the Jews, by faith, and the uncircumcision, us, the Gentiles, through faith. All right? You're in Romans 3:30. Go down now to Romans 4:1. Ready? Romans 4:1. God, in the sight of God, were justified by faith. Verse 1. What shall we say then? That Abraham our father is pertaining to the flesh hath found. For if Abraham were justified or saved by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. In other words, Abraham wasn't saved by works. If he did, look at verse 3. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So Abraham, that was a test of God using Abraham to offer his son big test. Was going to come, God, now I know that thou fearest me, that you fear me. God says, what? That's offering your son on Mount Moriah. Now I can use you to do what? Father a great nation, the Israel nation. Now, and that trial would come being 100 years old and having a son and all those. Okay? Look at verse number, watch this. I love verse 4. Now to him that worketh, those that are trying to earn their salvation, is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. I have that word debt marked in my Soul Winner's New Testament. It is so scary to hear somebody say, and there's only two religions in the world, right? Those that are trusting what somebody's done or those who are trusting what they do, right? I don't care if it's Muslim or Mormon or Jehovah's, it doesn't make any Catholic, it doesn't make any difference. You're either trusting what Jesus has done for you or you have trusted or you're trusting what you can do, okay? It's so sad. Oh, I'm all right. So you really believe, and I use that word debt. It's not reckoned of grace, but of debt. So you really think God owes you because of all that you've done. You really think you're going to stand before God on judgment day and God's going to read a list of your sins. Here's every thought, every deed, every sin, everything you've ever done for the whole length of your life. And then you're going to still look at God and say, you owe me. I helped people, I fed the poor, I visited people, I clothed the naked. You owe me heaven because I was so... You're actually going to be able to say that. You need to think about what you're getting ready to do. Do not turn down the Lord Jesus. No, God doesn't owe you a debt. You owe the debt, and that debt is hell for your sin. Okay, beautiful verses here. Keep on going. Watch this. And you're there at Romans chapter 4. That was verse 4. Verse 5. But to him, I love this, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that what? Justifieth or saves the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Once again, in the sight of God. We're justified by faith. I know you know this, but it's the next thing that I'm getting ready to go to. Let's look at one more scripture under this. Go to Romans 5. You're there in Romans 4. Go on down to chapter 5, verse 1. Ready? Therefore, Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified or declared righteous or saved by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, point number one, I put it in red there in your little sheet. In the sight of God, we're saved by faith. We're justified by faith. In the sight of man, we're justified by works. Okay? We're justified by works. Now I want you to take your Bible and go to James chapter 2. James chapter 2, and let's look at this. James chapter 2. This part of your Bible, they almost declared the book of James non-canonical or non-authoritative scripture-wise when they were compiling the Bible and taking the books and saying what book is fake, what book is real, what needs to go in the canon of Scripture. They took the Apocrypha, Maccabees, Ezra, Bel and the Dragon, the Epistle of Peter, and all those things. The Apocrypha means unknown author. We don't know who wrote this. Okay? It is not Scripture. That is what the Catholics, I know, they have that in their Bible, but the Apocrypha, the word Apocrypha means unknown author, hidden author. Okay? You say, why are you telling us that? When they were compiling the Scriptures, they came to James chapter 2. And after all that we just read through Romans and the Lord Jesus looking at someone saying, thy faith hath saved thee, go and sin no more. Then they come to James chapter 2 and they're reading it and it looks like there's a contradiction in Scripture. And there is no contradiction. They almost didn't put the book of James, because of this section we're getting ready to read, in the Bible. But, praise God, it came together, and yes, we figured out this was written by the Lord's half-brother, James the Less, and this is canonical. Let me show you why. Start there at James chapter 2, ready? Verse 14, ready? What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? He's going to make a statement here. God tells us in verse 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. Now it would help if you took the word dead. And this passage does not have to be so confusing. If you took the word dead and circled it and put over to the side in your Bible, put unfruitful, not non-existent. You understand? Now when you read it, faith without works is unfruitful, not non-existent. In other words, if you say you're saved and you never do anything about it, it does not profit anybody else. But it doesn't mean that you don't have faith. All right? The thief on the cross didn't get to, he got to witness to the guy on Jesus' left and things, but he never went to church. He never got baptized. He never tithed. You understand? He didn't get to do anything. He just got saved and died. All right? Now, the Lord saw fit to record his testimony in our Bible, so we get to use that when we go out soul winning. Amen. So I do think the thief on the cross is going to have some wonderful rewards in heaven. Okay? However, in James, he is saying, faith without works is unfruitful or dead, not non-existent. Now let's keep on reading. I just want you to understand that. That'll help you and not, there's no contradictions in your Bible. Verse 18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. God says here, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works? And by works was faith made perfect. Everyone, we see Abraham's faith in obeying God. And God used that for our profit. When we are told to do things that we don't understand, go ahead and obey God and let God handle it. God used that in Abraham's life, right? Then, keep on going. Verse 24, ye say then how that by works a man... Oh, I'm sorry, verse 23. Verse 23, and the Scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. The friend of God is what brings the whole passage in James chapter 2 together. Who called Abraham the friend of God? That's not God's title. God's title for David was a man after my own heart. Abraham didn't say, I'm God's friend. So Abraham didn't say he was God's friend. Who called Abraham the friend of God? The people in the community. They saw his works. They saw how he handled his family, his business. He was a very wealthy businessman. That man must be the friend of God. His works caused him to get that title, the friend of God. Very important that you understand that. His works verified his faith. Then verse 24, ye see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Where? In the eyes of the community. Faith, you're justified. Okay, nobody else. God's the one that saw your heart. God's the one that sees your heart when you trust Him as your Savior. Nobody else can. And I'll tell everybody that. I'll tell people that. They give me a shady testimony. You know, you can't put your finger on, you know, they hem-haw around about talking about salvation. I'm not God. I can't see your heart. But I do know this, as far as whether you're saved or not, God, you don't know if anybody's saved until you see their works. You understand? Until you see their works. Look at verse number 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Also, I'm sorry, verse 25, he used Rahab the harlot. She was justified by her works, remember? We studied about her and she saved the two spies there. And she was justified by her works in the eyes of the community. And God saw fit to put her in the lineage of Jesus. In your little paper there, before we go any further, the word justified, I should have done this, but the word justified, you'll hear a lot of preachers say, and it's a good way of thinking about it, just as if I'd never sinned. I'm just before God. I'm declared righteous. Just as if I'd never sinned. That's a wonderful way to remember the word. Okay? So I tried to put that there, and I know the spelling isn't right, but hopefully you can take it with you and remember it. Being born again has to do with the change in your nature. Justification has to do with your standing before God. Being born again has to do with your state of being. Justification has to do with your standing before God. Being justified is much more than a discharged prisoner who has served out his term but has no rights of citizenship. Being justified means you've received a pardon and the full rights of citizenship. I'm not walking around like someone who blew it 10 years ago. I'm walking around as a freed citizen with a clean bill of health. That's what the word, I'm innocent, I'm declared righteous, I'm declared without sin. That's the beautiful part about salvation. Okay? Now, as you work through it here, I'll give you just a few things and then I'll get into the practical here. The origin or source of our justification is God's free grace. We saw that in Romans 3:24, being justified freely by His grace. The grounds of our justification is the blood of Jesus Christ. Romans 5:9 says, much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. The condition of justification is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the verse I want you to look at. Go to Galatians chapter 2. This is a good soul-winning verse. This will help you. Galatians chapter 2. Look at verse number 16. Ready? Galatians 2, 16. So the origin or source of our justification is God's free grace. The grounds or foundation of our justification is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the condition of our justification is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, you can get saved if you will meet God's condition of trusting Him. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified or saved by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. What a verse. What a verse to show someone. Knowing. We don't wonder if we're right. I know you can't earn it. I know you can't earn your salvation. Here we go. God judges us and man judges us. Two people judge us. If two people were walking, they came up and let's say Wally was in the Marine Corps. Oh, I know he was. Wally was in the Marine Corps and I was in the Marine Corps. If Wally was wearing it, you got dress blues or you just got your greens? You got blues? Okay, I never got blues. That was for rich Marines. Okay, let's say he's walking. You watch Wally and I, and we're walking down the street, and he's got his dress blues on. Okay, looking mighty fine. All right? And then here I am, dressed casually. And we come up to you, and you say, "Hi, what's your name?" And I say, "My name's Greg Nash, and this is Wally Duran." And then I say, "We're Marines." You probably wouldn't doubt him, because he's got his uniform on. The one you doubt is me. Right? Because that's human nature. Right? There's two people that judge us. God judges us, but He sees the inside. Man judges us, but he sees only the outside. And when the outside doesn't match with what you're saying, then man doubts it. All right? So there's two people that judge us, God and man. Now, here we go. There are two people who justify us. I've already covered this with you. God justifies us by faith. Man justifies us because of our life. Take your Bible. I hope you know it. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Please go there and watch this. Romans 10, 9 and 10. This is a wonderful verse to use in drawing the net when you're going soul winning, but it illustrates it perfectly. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Ready? Are you there? Romans 10, 9. That if thou shalt, there's two words I want you to notice. That if thou shalt, number one, confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart, believe, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Believe and confession. Look at verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, or getting saved, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You know what he's saying there? When you believed is when you got saved. When you came forward in a church and we filled out the deal and we said, "Hey, so-and-so got saved and they've trusted Jesus," and you confessed him, that let everybody else know you were saved. Belief in your heart got you saved before God. Confessing it, that you get everybody else know that you got saved. There's another picture. This is really all through the Bible, and I'm watching the time. Hang on, okay? We can go there. Matthew chapter 3, verse 7. So there's two people who justify us. God justifies us because of our faith. Man justifies us because of our life. Okay? Matthew chapter 3, verse 7. This is John the Baptist preaching here, and watch this. Matthew chapter 3, verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees, come to his baptism, he said unto them, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Look at this statement. Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. You know what that means? Bring forth fruits. Prove it. You're saved. Bring forth fruit. He said, "I want to see proof of your salvation. You come out to watch me baptize these people. You're a bunch of vipers." He said, "I want to see." He said, "You're not saved." That's John the Baptist. "Bring forth therefore fruits meet or fitting for repentance." He said, "Prove it." That's Baptist preaching. I want to see your life. You understand? You say, "Where do we apply this?" Okay, let me tell you where we apply this. Because we do this. No, I don't preach this way. All right. But it wouldn't be bad if I did. All right. However, if a man owned a pornography store here in town and got saved, you wouldn't want me to make him a Sunday school teacher next week so he can teach your kids, right? Now, in God's sight, he got saved. But in our eyes, he needs to burn the store down. Right? And we don't need to say, well, you know, it's hard out there. You still working at the pornography store? Well, yeah. Trying to get rid... I went soul winning with a man that built four of the strip bars in town where we were at in Columbia. And when we would go soul winning, that man, he was a good Catholic. He was. He sinned during the week, confessed to the day. He was a businessman. And I said, You built those strip clubs and the bars? He goes, yeah. He said, that's another one I built. I said, were you immoral? He goes, oh, no, no, you get venereal disease. No, I didn't, no, no, no. He said, I just used it to make money. You know what I mean? I was like, okay. And you say, why am I telling you that? It took him a while. And praise God, when he got saved, it was neat. He no longer had the bars. He just had the horrible hauntings of what he did before he got saved. You understand? He'd sold them before he got saved. He just said, yeah, I built that one and sold it and built that one and that one. We had to deal with that every time we went out soul winning. He was when somebody like that gets saved, we want to see them bring forth fruits meet for repentance. Wisdom says, trust is earned. Prove it. I'm a man. I am not God. I need you to make your testimony important to you as a Christian because I am only a man and I can't see your heart. Your testimony and what you are in the community is very important. Listen closely. Our standards for leadership at Gospel Light Baptist Church, Sunday school teachers, youth workers, nursery workers, someday, I don't know, someday the Lord may let us have deacons. That's not here yet. But if you're going to be in leadership at Gospel Light, leadership, I said, not membership. Do you understand? There's a difference. If you're going to be in leadership, you need to be faithful to the church services. That should be basic. That's basic. You need to be faithful to tithe. You need to be faithful tithing members if you're going to be in the leadership. If you're going to be a role model. If you're going to be someone who says, I represent our church. And watch this. I don't look at... Look, the purpose of the church is to grow people. You say, well, what do you do when I miss church? I pray for you. That's exactly what I do. And everybody's going to have time when they get sick. But I also know to each one of you how important church is to you. Okay? And all that tells me is this, is how mature you are spiritually. Do you understand? And if it's not very important, I still love you. I don't go, they'll never amount to anything. I don't do that. I don't think that way. I do think this. That's what the preaching's for. Amen? That's what prayer is for. That's what church is for, is to grow people. Okay? You're supposed to be, our leadership standards are, you need to be faithful to the church services, you need to be faithful to tithe, you need to go soul winning once a week, doesn't have to be on Tuesday night, but you do need to go soul winning once a week. Men are supposed to have short hair, you're not supposed to drink any type of alcohol, near beer or anything, you can't dance, you shouldn't listen to rock music. If you're going to be a leader, if you're going to be a role model, if you're going to be a Sunday school teacher, you understand? Not if you're going to attend. I know we got plenty of people listen to rock music. We're a good Baptist church. We got people that are growing in the Lord. Amen. Everybody's not spotless, but if you're going to be in leadership, no, you should. You can't listen to rock music. Women are supposed to wear dresses and not pants. And watch this. All of those standards, and that's a few for leadership. You're glad those standards are there. You want those standards there. You know what those standards show? In God's eyes, I'm glad you're saved. But in our eyes, I want to know that you're justified to teach. Do you understand? I need to see it. You say, well, my salvation between me and God and my standards. I'm just telling you, every church has to have a set of standards that you outwardly conform to if you're going to involve yourself and be a role model. And you don't want to go to a church that doesn't have any standards. I don't think. Right? You say, well, how come we got to have the standards? Because in the eyes of God, you're saved by faith. But in the eyes of man, you're saved by your works. Right? That's why. Okay? That's why standards are important. That's why, in other words, the boundary lines. Okay? One person said, you know, one lady a long time ago, she said, well, man, if I can't dance, I can't drink alcohol, I can't listen to rock music, but I want to teach Sunday school in your church. You're keeping me from serving God. No. Your testimony is keeping you from serving God. I'm not keeping you from serving God. Your testimony is. Because in the eyes of God, we're saved by faith. We're justified by faith. In the eyes of man, we're justified by our works. By our works. Your standards show outwardly that you're justified and you can hold a position of leadership and can be trusted to teach the Word of God. Okay, let me use this again because we're almost done. Because I know the standards can be an issue, but I also I'm not moving on them. And just to help everybody, I think you're glad we have standards because you don't want me getting drunk every other week, do you? Oh, our pastor, he's a good guy. He means well. He just struggles with some things. Wasn't your pastor out in front of our house saying how dry I am? He was out there at 3 in the morning. He's a good man. He just gets a little saucy. You don't want that. And watch this. You wouldn't listen to me if I drank. Amen? Right? You go, you got a problem with drinking, you don't need to be in the pulpit. Right? Right? The same thing. I am also judged by works. Okay? I am also to protect my testimony. Okay? That's how come I don't get in a car with women other than my wife or my daughter or my mom. But I'm not going to be seen in a car with someone I'm not married to or is not family. Not in this day and age. That's your testimony. That's your testimony. You say, why? Oh, they're not sleeping together. I hope not. But I don't want the appearance of evil. Amen? I want a clean testimony. Okay? I don't want, and I think you want that. Amen? We just don't think it through. We'll gripe about it, but we don't think of what would happen if we went to a church where there were no standards. Then we don't consider that, but we'll gladly criticize, man, standards, and who do they think that? All we did was we took some Bible principles and we made some rules. If you have a problem with drinking, God bless you, I'll help you, but you're not ready to teach the Bible to our children. Amen. Okay? Wow, what's the problem with alcohol? Well, then there's some things you need to understand. Amen? We'll close with this. God forgives and forgets. Man forgives and never forgets. If you haven't experienced that yet, you will. God does forgive and forget. Man doesn't. Well, they should, you're right, but they don't. They don't. I love this verse. Can we close with this? I'll just show you. This is God's forgiveness. Let's just close with this. Go to Micah in your minor prophets there, right before the New Testament. Micah chapter 7. Beautiful verse. Micah chapter 7. Justification. Looking at it, we'll close with this. No, this doesn't have the word justified in it, but it's still beautiful. Micah chapter 7. Look at verse number 18. Ready? Who is a God? Micah chapter 7, verse 18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever. Aren't you glad? because He delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities, and Thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Did you know there's parts of the sea that they still have not found the bottom to? There's still parts of the ocean that have been unexplored by man. That's because my sins are down there and God doesn't want them to find them. Commander, we hit something. Yeah, that's Greg Nash's sins. We need to go ahead and raise a little bit here. Take it out of there. In God's eyes, we're justified by faith. In man's eyes, we're justified by our works, by our outward works. What the word justified means? Declared righteous or innocent. I just love it. The day you got saved was when the Lord said, you trusted Him, Greg Nash is righteous! And I was justified. All of that happened on the day you got saved. Let's pray. Father, we love You tonight. I pray that please,